And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Robbie Stanley here with you. That is not Joe Rexro. That is Adam Vingan here this morning. Ian Safar with us as well. Vingan, good morning. Happy early morning to you. What's going on?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here bright and early. I don't have a good Joe Rexro impression, but...
it's probably good.
Pearl Jam, gout, gout, gout.
Nice. That was pretty good. That was better than you gave yourself credit for. That was good. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Just happy to be here.
We're all happy to be here today.
Absolutely.
A little bit of a schedule twist this week with old Stilly on vacation. So Joe will be doing the 3 to 6 time slot today with Paul Kuharski.
Oh, that's going to be good.
So I'm sure that nothing will go wrong there with Rex Road and Kuharski together for 3 hours this afternoon in Stilly's time slot, which I'm sure Kuharski won't mention at all. I doubt that'll come up at all today.
How many pot shots at Jared will Paul take today? Let's set the over.
I'm setting the over under 7.5.
Ian, what do you think? Over under 7.5.
7.5. I'll go the over. I'll take the over.
Yeah,
on that
I think
one.
I'm taking the over too.
I'll take the over in the opening segment.
All right, okay, that's good. Yeah, maybe the over under should be 38.5. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. Joe and PK coming up later today from 3 to 6. So. I think Chase and Big Joe are back in their normal spot today from 9. They're going until 12. Mm-hmm. And then Willie and D-Mace will be together from 12 to 3. So, got a lot coming
Triple
your way today.
Triple D today.
That's
instead
right.
Instead of DVD.
Yeah, it is.
Derek, Donick, and David.
Triple D.
Triple
there
D.
There you go.
Yep.
Like you said, it's only DVD when you're there.
Correct.
You're the V. So, there you go.
I am indeed the V.
We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Nick Suss from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Mark Ross from the NFL Network will be with us at 8:30. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Adam Vingan's got a rant later in the program as well, so looking forward to that coming up at 7:45. But Adam, we begin. It is one of the most fascinating days of the sporting calendar to me, and we go through this every year, but today is officially the NFL schedule release day. By the way, we know one opponent is not what I'm getting to. We'll get into that here in just a second. We know one game for the Titans and when it's going to be. According to Jordan Schultz, the Titans are opening up against the Denver Broncos on the road. So Cam Ward, Bo Nix on the road for the Titans in Denver to open up the season. And then we'll find out the rest of today. Today is an amazing day because people really care about this. And we've known like who the opponents are going to be for a while now at this point, but people love NFL schedule release day, and I get it to a certain degree. Like, if you're trying to go on the road, like, you can, you know, then begin to determine when you're going and what that's going to look like and start to plan all that. But it is amazing, like, the pomp and circumstance, Adam, that goes into this day when you know what the opponents are going to be and have known for a while now.
This is exactly why the NFL has us by the grapefruits, because something like the schedule release. And again, as you said, Robbie, it would be one thing if we didn't know the opponents. And today we learned not only who the Titans were playing, but when. Think of it like Selection Sunday, for example, in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. If we had no idea who the Titans were playing this season and we were going to find out today, that would be incredibly exciting. We've known who the Titans are going to play this season for 4 months. Now we just know what order they're going to play those opponents in. So it just goes to show how the NFL has taken over the calendar. There really is not a point in the 12-month calendar where the NFL does not have our attention, whether it's the season itself, NFL draft combine, the draft, free agency, OTAs, training camp. Maybe that 5-6 week period in the middle of the summer between the end of OTAs and the beginning of training camp, that's really the only time where the NFL doesn't have a stranglehold on our attention. So kudos to the NFL. I believe NFL Network is going to be showing the schedule release this evening. It'll do big ratings. Yeah. People are going to tune in and watch it. But as you said, reportedly, the Titans will open the season on the road against the Denver Broncos Sunday, September 7th at 3:05 p.m. Central on Fox, if you care about which channel it's on. That would be an interesting test for Cam Ward, playing against arguably the best defense in the NFL, led the NFL last season in sacks by a wide margin, 63 sacks by the Broncos defense, 9 more than the next closest team, the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, and by the way, the Broncos have the reigning defensive player of the year at cornerback in Pat Surtain. So we might learn a little bit about Cam Ward, but you brought up something funny before the show, Robbie. You were talking about how Marcus Mariota had a perfect day in his debut. How Will Levis had a perfect day in his debut.
I kind of want Cam Ward to suck in week one.
To temper expectations.
Yeah. Let's just change it up a little bit. We don't need every quarterback stepping out there in their first start looking great. It hadn't worked out so well for the last two.
Right, so maybe if Cam Ward is bad in his first start, things will turn out better.
I'd feel great. If he's bad that first week, I'd be like, okay, I feel pretty good about this right now. Cool.
I did feel good about breaking news to a listener yesterday. He wasn't aware that we also, not only do we know the opponents already, we know which teams are coming to Nashville and which games are going to be on the road.
Yeah.
So the texter said, I can't wait to find out where the Titans are playing the Patriots. It's like they're playing them here.
Yeah,
he was like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's happening here.
Mike Vrabel back in Nashville. So here's my quick question for you, Robbie. How many nationally televised games do you think the Tennessee Titans get this year? So Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. How many games do you think the Titans are on primetime?
One.
I'm going to say three. My specific predictions are two Thursday night games and the Monday night football doubleheader where they're the crappier of the two games.
Okay.
Like last season when they played the Dolphins on Monday Night Football and beat Tyler Huntley. So I'm going to say three.
Give us more of that.
That's my prediction. Three.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Titans. I know they got the number one overall pick. I heard Chase and Big Joe talking about this yesterday of like the primetime games. Chase is kind of more towards you where he thinks they're going to get three. I think Joe thinks they may not get any at all, so we'll see how that goes.
When I think about Thursday night games, I know they are technically primetime games, but they're never the most exciting games. They're like, all right, which mediocre teams can we put on TV?
Yeah, like I kind of put them in their own category. I mean, look, it is primetime. You're the only show in town that night, so I mean, it counts for sure.
But how many times do you turn on the TV? You're like, oh, you know, it's Thursday night. Let's see what's on.
Yeah,
it's the Browns and the Dolphins.
I'll put it to you this way. Like Sunday night, number one, typically is a pretty good game. So my TV will always find its way on the Sunday night football game for the most part. You know, unless it's, you know, Arizona and Carolina or something like that. But for the most part,
that is a quintessential Thursday night game if I've ever heard.
For the most part, my TV finds its way on Sunday night. You know, I've got Prime, so I can watch the Thursday night games. But frankly, like Thursday night, I'm busier throughout the week. So if it's not a good game on Thursday night, I'm probably not watching. That's where I come down. And I know there are some people that it doesn't really matter what game's on. They're going to be watching. If there's an NFL football game on, they're going to be watching. And that's great. I mean, that's part of why the NFL is the monster that it is because people – care to that degree. But like I would throw out there, like, how many Titans fans actually care about having primetime games? I think some do. I would fall under the category of one of those who do not care. Just tell me when the games are and let's see if you can go win a few this year. That'd be where my focus comes down on. I don't really care if it's played at noon, 7 o'clock at night, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Go win a few this season.
Justin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think we will play one Thursday night football game, but we will be in the midday slot a lot due to playing the NFC West and AFC West because the Titans will play the Chargers at home, they'll play the Rams at home, the Seahawks at home, they'll be at Arizona, they'll be at Denver, they'll be at San Francisco and Las Vegas. So you'll see a lot of 4:05 Eastern starts, I think, for the Titans this season.
Yeah, like I think there's this thought out there also that with Vrabel coming back here, that one can be a primetime game. And I'm not saying it won't be. I'm just asking the question. We care about that here, and obviously Titans fans care about that, and you know the Patriots fans, he's their new bright and shiny toy, so they care about it. Like nationally, how much buzz does Mike Vrabel returning to Tennessee actually generate? I would argue not a lot.
Probably not.
So Is that going to be a prime time game? That was good. That was pretty good. Is that going to be a prime time game at that point? Again, that depends on what your definition of prime time is.
No,
like I personally view Thursday night football as a whole lot different than Sunday night football.
Patriots Titans has noon on CBS written all over it.
Right.
I think we here in Nashville care about that game, obviously, but I don't think there are going to be a lot of people who tune into that game like, oh, Mike Vrabel versus the Titans. You used to coach them, right? Oh, that's cool. All right, what else is on? That's what I think most other people are going to be doing.
Skyler says, I don't care if the Titans are on primetime. Just don't embarrass us at noon, and I'll be happy.
They'll embarrass you at 3:05 instead of noon a lot this year, I think, is what's going to happen.
It is NFL schedule release day. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. We know one game time to this point. Titans reportedly going to open up the season in Denver, taking on the Broncos. An afternoon start here in Nashville time. So we'll take your thoughts on the NFL schedule release. Plus, we got a whole lot more Titans talk to get to this hour, revisiting some comments from Adam Kaplan on our show yesterday as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Schedule comes out next week. Yeah. Are you excited to see? Obviously, you know who you're playing, where you're playing them, but are you excited to see like the dates and you know, yeah, we get a Monday night game, stuff like that.
It always makes it more real when you have some dates to put to it and you have some an order. And usually, you get to the – I look at, like, the first three teams, and after that, I couldn't even tell you who we play. It's you sort of focus on the start, and you take it as it comes. But it's always good to know when and where you're playing teams, when your games are, what your travel schedule looks like. It just makes it more real, makes it – you know, you're just one step closer to that actually occurring. But, yeah, I'm always excited about the schedule release, and you like to see who you open up with and see what your first month looks like and what teams you play and where. So that's always an exciting time.
That's Brian Callahan last week, fired up about the schedule release coming today. We'll figure it out today. I love that. Yeah, it's always nice to have some dates put to it.
And then tomorrow we'll all print out the schedule and go win, loss, loss.
Oh, yeah.
Win. Is tomorrow – well, Ian is fortunately, not unfortunately. Ian fortunately doesn't have to do this exercise anymore, but – who I knows? Imagine that when Jared returns
usually
on Friday,
is.
He'll
yeah,
do his expectations
will.
Show.
Yeah, go through.
I mean,
categorize.
And remember, as Ian knows, there's a difference between the expectations and the prediction.
That's
there's
correct.
That. Although I will say, we might need to do that later this week. Because Ian kind of nailed it last year with his expectation of the Titans.
I think you said
Ian thought they were going to be awful.
Did you say five wins or less?
I think it's less.
Yeah.
I think I might have said four.
I think you said four.
Yeah.
I ended up with three.
Yes.
Ian was pretty much right on.
If I recall correctly, we did this exercise on our show, and I think Derek had them 9-8.
I do think they will be better this year. Cam Ward's going to be better than Levis.
How many wins do you think Cam Ward is worth more than
Well,
Will
let's
Levis?
Think about that from last year. And again, like each year is different. I understand all that. But how many more games do they win last year if the quarterback play just isn't atrocious? I would say at least two or three.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, they definitely win the Bears game in week one.
Maybe the Jets game.
The Jets game.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, those two were a combination of
a Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
It was like 10-6 or something like that,
I've already
right?
laid it out. They better not lose Jacksonville this year.
So at that point, you already if you give them one of the Jacksonville games plus the Bears and Jets games, that's six wins.
Yeah, like that's what's going to be interesting to see. Like if Cam Ward – look, I don't have expectations that Cam Ward is going to come in and just be electric. But can he avoid like just the colossal mistakes that we saw at quarterback last year? Because if he can, I mean, you're probably looking at a couple more wins there anyway when you just totally avoid disaster. Like they did last year. So
one thing I did see, according to the NFL, the Titans have the fourth easiest strength of schedule in the NFL this season.
Yep.
So I'm curious how that plays into Cam Ward's success. The only teams with easier schedules based on opponent win percentage, the Patriots, the Saints, and the 49ers. The Titans are at 450. The Patriots at 429, the Saints at 419, and the Niners at 415. The hardest schedule in the NFL belongs to the New York Giants
at good.
574.
Good for them. That'll go well for them, I'm sure. I mean, the thing is, like, you look at the Titans schedule, and there are, I mean, you got Jacksonville twice, which we all know they always do. But, I mean, you got the Saints on there. You got the 49ers. I have no idea how good the 49ers are going to be. this year, and they should be better than the Titans. Cleveland is on there. Are they going to be any good? I mean, there are some winnable games that they've got on the schedule. Of course, then you know you've got Kansas City coming in, and you've got the Chargers coming in, and you know they're going. It's an NFL schedule. There are going to be some weeks where they're just totally overmatched from a talent standpoint out there. But like even the Patriots, like I know everybody's excited about Vrabel up there. Patriots weren't very good last year, so the Titans are going to have, I think, some navigable games on there. Going to the Raiders, you know, Geno's their quarterback now, but yeah. You know, there are some really interesting games on there from the Titans standpoint as to, like, if Cam Ward comes in and is good, can you put yourself in a position to win some of these games?
Chris on our text line says, let Ward get sacked and hit 718 times and see if he can throw the ball. Let's compare apples to apples now.
We'll see. Like you said, I think we're going to get a pretty good look.
Well, Levis was week one.
Yeah.
That was before he got hit 1,000 times. Yeah. That was the first game of the season.
That's true.
Well, by the way, he didn't get hit all that much in the first half of that game.
Second game of the season wasn't much better either. I mean, this is early on. This is not like he'd been battered all year.
No, Will Levis is not good. And I don't know why we got to keep coming back to the Levis part of it. Like, Levis is not good.
But the Broncos defense, again, is arguably the best in the NFL. Led the NFL in sacks last season. Has a defensive player of the year at cornerback. It's going to be an incredibly tough test on the road for Cam Ward in his first start. And I do think, to your point, Robbie, from earlier, I think we'll get a realistic view of what the Titans are. I'm glad they're playing a solid opponent in week one versus beating up on another also-ran.
Ron on the text line says, if Shedeur Sanders is the starter, maybe that might be a primetime game for the Titans going up against Cleveland. Thing is, like, I don't think you're going to know that right now. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the starter, right? I mean, he may eventually get into being the starter at some point, and there's always, you know, flexing options for the NFL later in the year. But
who's going to be the week one starter for the Browns?
I mean, I guess Flacco, right? I mean, I guess it could be Pickett. Old baby hands out there. Did you see the picture floating around Twitter last weekend of, like, they just did a still shot of Flacco holding the football, and then right next to it was Pickett holding the football, and
I missed
the difference
that one,
in hand size. It's pretty hilarious.
I missed that somehow.
Everybody talks
cheek size.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody talks about Kenny Pickett's hand size all the time. He can't even hold on the football. So I don't know. Like I guess it'll be one of those two. The real question is: Are they going to carry four? You carrying four quarterbacks into the year?
I would have a hard time imagining them.
You draft Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan
in third
Gabriel.
Round.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think Sanders is going to be.
Do you want a rookie as your backup?
Probably DeFlacco, not, right?
Unless you're just willing to do the quick flip-flop.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you traded for Pickett. I know you didn't give up a ton for him, but you traded for Pickett. So are you just going to cut him, right? Is it going to be Flacco and then the two rookies after that? I don't know.
Like, I guess you can send Deshaun Watson somewhere. Like, he'll be on the team, but he won't be on the team.
Right. Like, he's going to be on IR, so he's not going to really count against all that. But, like, this is just further evidence of what I said at the time. And it's basically been confirmed since then. Nobody's outright said it. But, like, this was a Jimmy Haslam pick. He saw Shedeur Sanders there in the fifth round. And Jimmy Haslam said, yeah, go do that. Which is why when you saw the draft reaction of everybody in the Browns room, it was like, oh, yay, we got Shedeur Sanders. It was, just took a quarterback in the third round. And our owner made us pick one in the fifth round. That's exactly what happened.
I wonder which home game Titans fans are most looking forward to. I would assume it's the Patriots because of the return of Mike Vrabel. But outside of that, I'm wondering which home game Titans fans are looking forward to seeing the most.
Well, the home schedule this year is obviously the AFC South opponent, so mm-hmm. Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville. And then you've got Kansas City,
There's
the Chargers,
one.
The Rams, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Saints.
Some interesting games in Nashville. I did say this to Willie the other day. So the Savannah Bananas were in town over the weekend.
Yes.
70,000 at Nissan Stadium. Cam Ward runs out the tunnel, his first experience at Nissan Stadium. Cam, ain't going to be like that, brother.
It's electric in here. My goodness.
Maybe cut that by a third. Maybe that's what you'll get.
Maybe not early.
Early
people will be there, right? Like, it's the number one overall pick. It's a new quarterback. It's new hope. Now, if they're bad and the time, you know, things flip around in November, number one, you're going to see a lot of opposing fans in there because that's what happens here. And two, he could get a little light at that point. Yes. Which is going to be interesting. Like, in all seriousness, I am interested to see, like, when that New England game is from this standpoint, because I always leave room for Amy Adams Strunk to do something a little bit crazy. And if the New England game is in, like, November, so it's deep enough into the season where there's you've got a pretty good idea if your team is any good or not. Like, if they're not good and New England comes in here on, like, November the 11th or whatever it is, and they beat them, like, does she fire somebody after that? I'm like, it would be one thing if it's week two. Like, if it's like the Titans' home opener, it's difficult to fire someone in week two. So I don't think even she would do that.
I imagine Brian Callahan is like, please don't schedule Patriots in week two. I mean, and yeah, please schedule Patriots in week two.
You need
please
to be
schedule
like your first home game. Yeah.
It's like, Patriots, week 12. Oh, crap.
That could set up poorly.
Yes.
Timing could be bad.
Absolutely.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Interesting comments from Adam Kaplan on our show yesterday as it relates to the Titans, their structure, and the patience of their owner. We're going to get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Again, Joe will be with PK this afternoon from 3 to 6. Here on 102.5 The Game, which people in the YouTube chat are very excited about.
So I'm glad that Rex Road could sleep in. He's going to need it. He's going to need that energy for Paul for 3 hours.
Yeah, there's no way he's awake right now. None. He told me yesterday, he's like, I hope to listen to the last 30 minutes of your show tomorrow.
Thanks. Well, you can also listen to what you missed wherever you get your podcasts, Joe Rex Road.
Do we think that Joe knows how to open a podcast?
No.
Okay.
I like to make fun of Willie and Derek because... To me, the ultimate sign about whether or not you're tech savvy is if you know how to take a screenshot on your computer. Willie and Derek do not know how to take a screenshot on their computer. So Willie one time was doing something and he was holding up his phone to the screen. And I said, Willie, what are you doing, man? And I had to give them a tutorial on how to take screenshots during the break. So Rex Road is absolutely I take a picture of my computer screen on my cell phone.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you were going earlier over like your Rex Road impressions, and people in the YouTube chat were like, yeah, you're going to have to mute yourself if you want to do a Rex Road impression.
I have not muted myself yet.
Yeah.
There is still time.
There's a lot of time. Could be happy.
Pearl Jam. Gout, gout, gout. What else does Rex Road like to say all the time? I mean, how about... Pearl Jam, Biscuit, gout, gout, gout.
Been throwing the word fart around a lot lately, Ian.
I heard him say something like that. I said, did Rex Road actually just say that on the air? Then I realized he didn't say what I think he said.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
Yeah, slipping them in there.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
I'm going to leave little messages for Rex Road over the course of the program when I know he's probably not listening because he's sleeping to see if he goes back and listens to the podcast afterwards.
I think you're going
to
be sorely disappointed.
Oh.
Adam Kaplan was with us yesterday here on the show. And we brought up a lot of different things with him, Titans related, but an interesting point that he made on the structure that the Titans have in place and whether or not Andy Adams Strunk is going to be patient enough to allow this whole process to come together. Here's what Adam Kaplan from Sirius XM NFL Radio said on our program yesterday.
There's a lot to unpack here, okay? I know where I was when Robinson was let go. I was shocked because, as you know, she extended his contract, I believe, in February of that year, and then fired him in October.
Yep.
That's unheard of. You know, this is my 27th year of covering the NFL. I've had a lot of crazy text messages. I got a lot of, like, what are they doing in Tennessee, you know, for personnel people who are shocked by it. So that goes to your point. She's very unpredictable, but I'll say this much. You can't say that she's not willing to pay personnel executives. Let me just explain kind of what's happening here. So you know about Chad Brinker. His promotion to president of football operations. He's an overseer. Mike Briganti won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs. He's the general manager. Dave Ziegler won. He's their assistant GM. Won 3 rings with the Patriots. Dan Sagnew, the VP of player personnel, who's by the way really talented. I know that he didn't win a lot there, but from what I'm told, he's really good. Reggie McKenzie, who I mentioned, who's the football advisor, right? Former Raiders GM, won a Super Bowl as a personnel executive with the Packers. Scott Cohen, who is John Harbaugh's right-hand man for 9 seasons with the Ravens. He's the director of strategy now for the Titans, who won a lot with the Eagles and Ravens. So here's the thing, guys. They got a lot of guys who have won before. If these guys could get along and they're allowed to do their job without interference from the owner, there's a chance this thing gets turned around a lot faster than maybe I thought or you guys thought. And by the way, not that they're going to make the playoffs this year, but you saw what happened with the Commanders last season. You get an elite quarterback. No one saw coming what the Commanders did last season. Let's be honest about it.
So that was Adam Kaplan on the show yesterday. And Adam, a couple different things on there. Number one, now he did say Robinson, you know, got the contract extension in February and was fired in October. Robinson was actually fired in early December. But the overall point of that still remains. Like, you know, it was a few months that went by, and A.B. Adams shrunk, and her viewpoint totally changed on John Robinson. Kaplan lays out kind of the structure of where the Titans are at right now in their front office and correctly points out, like, they've got a lot of people in there that have been a part of a lot of winning that has gone down. Now, most of them are in elevated roles. Now, you know, Reggie McKenzie, Dave Ziegler have been in elevated roles before in there. But, you know, Mike Borgonzi, it's his first time being an actual general manager. Chad Brinker being elevated to this spot where he's basically the football czar of the Titans here. So it's not quite the same as just or as simple as, well, they've all won a lot. They're in different roles, so we'll see how they handle that. But what do you make of what Kaplan said about their structure? And if Amy Adams Strunk is patient enough to let this thing all come together, maybe the Titans can get back to being competitive maybe quicker than we think heading into all this.
If Amy Adams Strunk is delegating to Chad Brinker, and I believe Chad Brinker has said on more than one occasion that he is empowered by Amy Adams Strunk to speak on her behalf. I've said this before. She either needs to be all in or all out. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to, if you want to be an absentee owner, there are a lot of absentee owners. Not every owner needs to be Jerry Jones or Steve Ballmer with the Los Angeles Clippers or how Mark Cuban used to be with the Dallas Mavericks. Not that Amy Adams Strunk was like that at any point. But if you want to be an absentee owner, you have to stay an absentee owner. So when things aren't going well, you want to hide, that's fine. When things start going well again, you also need to be out of it. That's my stance on it. So, I mean, my prediction would be that, you know, once the Titans turn this around, she'll be back out in front and doing the tailgates and shaking hands and kissing babies. And I don't love that. I think if you're going to be the owner behind the scenes, you need to stay the owner behind the scenes. And, you know, in terms of the structure of the organization, I don't pretend to know everything about Reggie McKenzie's and Dave Ziegler's managerial careers, but it does feel like there are a lot more adults in the room,
yep.
Which is a good thing. I didn't feel like Rand Carthon had that. So I in theory, I like what the Titans have done, bringing in a lot of experienced voices. And I know Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker have talked glowingly about that experience. But when it comes to Amy Adams Strunk, I'm like, you're either in or you're out.
Right.
And so if you want to remain on the sidelines, that's fine. But when things start going well, I need you to stay on the sidelines.
Well, I look at it this way. She has made a drastic move with this franchise for basically 3 years in a row, right? Like we went through it with Kaplan there. She fired Robinson, and then she was all in on Vrabel, and then she fired Vrabel, and then she was all in on Rand, and then she fired Rand. So that's what it's been around here. And now Chad Brinker, even before they hired Mike Borgonzi, you know, as they were going into the search to replace Rand Carthon as GM, was talking about basically patience and how it's going to take a while. He didn't outright say it's going to take a while to get back to being competitive. But he did say, like, they're going to be pretty methodical in the way that they do things, and they're going to build through the draft. And if you're reading between the lines there, you're coming away with, all right, he's saying that this is going to be, you know, a multi-year process to get back to where they want to be. Now, we all know that the quarterback can be an accelerant to that. Like, if Cam Ward comes in and is really good, you can be a lot better, a lot quicker than maybe you originally thought with your timeline. So we all know that. But my question still is, like, I need Amy Adams Strunk to prove it to me that she can do that. Like, I still wonder, like, in full disclosure, I've said this. I thought last year when it was becoming pretty obvious that they were going to fire Rand Carthon, that they should have gone ahead and fired Brian Callahan, because I was tired of having the coach and the GM on two different timelines, and I thought with as bad as last year was, the best move would have been to just pull the plug and start completely over if you were going to go ahead and fire Rand Carthon. Now, obviously, she didn't do that. I'm not overly impressed with what I've seen with Brian Callahan to this point, but now you're bringing in a quarterback. So I think a bad thing for the quarterback is to bring him in, have him learn a system, and then fire the coach immediately after this year. Now, as we talked about the other day, if it's just glaringly obvious throughout the year that Brian Callahan doesn't know what he's doing as head coach, then you got to make a move at that point. But beyond that, like, I would like to see him stick around. Like, I just wonder, it's one thing to have the plan, right? Like, they clearly, Chad Brinker has talked about it a lot, and they keep bringing up patience and kind of that slow build that they're trying to accomplish here. It's one thing to have that plan, and it seems like for the moment they've got Amy Adams Strunk on with that plan based on what they've said. But what does the process look like when you actually live through it? That's going to be what it comes down to, is if you live through going 4-13 or 5-12 or whatever they are this year, you know, barring some expectation that they just supersede that we can't see coming right now, where they're, you know, a 7-8-9 win football team and maybe playing some meaningful games late in the year. If it goes the way we think it might go and they're just not very good again this year, does Amy Adams Strunk actually display the patience that it looks like they've sold her on? That's my question.
History suggests, at least recent history, suggests that Brian Callahan will be fired this year. I looked this up last week, or was it earlier this week? Days run together. Five of the past quarterbacks taken number one overall had their coaches fired mid-season in their rookie years.
Yeah.
Five of the past seven, including each of the past three, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, and Trevor Lawrence. Jared Goff also had his coach, which I believe was Jeff Fisher, fired during his rookie season, and Baker Mayfield as well. The only two that didn't were Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow. So, yep. Again, five of the past seven quarterbacks drafted number one overall had their coaches fired mid-season in their rookie years. So recent history suggests that Brian Callahan may not survive this season. But I agree that if you are committed to seeing this thing through and putting Cam Ward in the best position to succeed, I do think you need to marry the coach to the quarterback. So I think it was Blake Bedingfield in the story written by Teron Davenport said that he wouldn't make a coaching move for the next couple of years. And even if things don't go well, I would agree with that. I don't think it would be good for Cam Ward if Brian Callahan were in and out in his first season.
Oh, and beyond even the coach part of it, when you've put this front office structure in place, do you have the patience to let it all come together? Now, look, you know, I'm not always overly impressed with Chad Brinker. And again, I don't know that I necessarily separate Chad Brinker a whole lot from what we saw from Rand Carthon last year, even though it's clear the organization is trying to. You know, Chad Brinker was there for some of these decisions that did not work out well. So I'm still fairly skeptical about him moving forward. Look, I like everything I've seen from Borgonzi to this point. Now, it's been a very limited sample size on Mike Borgonzi, and they've gone with Cam Ward. So we all know that Cam Ward's success or failure is largely going to determine what happens with this front office here. But as they're trying to piece together a roster here, and they're trying to build up kind of that next core, do they have the right people in charge? That's going to be, I think, the fundamental question of where they go from here. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. We'll have Nick Suss from the Tennessean at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy at Hermitage Golf Course, is coming up on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Once again, 615open.com. Nick Suss from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock, covers the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Taking your thoughts at the moment on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Do the Titans have the right people in place in their front office, and how patient will Amy Adams Strunk be with the current setup? Now, here's the other interesting part of this, and we brought up some comments that Adam Kaplan had on our show yesterday, and he went through all the different people that have been a part of a lot of winning that are with the Titans right now. And on the surface, that sounds great. There's also the question of, do they have too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, right? We've talked about that. Are there too many people that have a voice in the organization in terms of your decision makers? And we know this. This is a different sort of structure than you really see throughout the NFL. And maybe the Titans are on the cutting edge of this new power structure and way of doing things in the NFL, and maybe they're about to be groundbreakers here. But, you know, the Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi dynamic. Mike Borgonzi, you know, having Reggie McKenzie, Dave Ziegler in the room with him. Like, there's a lot of people there that I think are going to have a heavy voice and a lot of influence as to what they're doing. And if they, as Kaplan pointed out, if they all get along and work together well, that can end up being a really good thing. Or, like, is there going to be situations where that really strains things in there and there are too many cooks in the kitchen? I'm interested to see how that part of it plays out as they go along here. You look, you know, they've had one offseason now. They didn't do a ton in free agency this time. They brought in Dan Moore, which was the most significant free agent move that they made, and we'll see how that works out at left tackle. You know, as I said, the draft, Oladejo is intriguing to me. How good's he going to be? You know, obviously the two receivers they brought in the fourth round. But really the draft story of whether or not they've had a good draft this year is going to be Cam Ward, and that's largely what they're going to be tied to as a whole moving forward here. So they don't have a ton of moves that they've made yet to really speak of here, and we'll see how these newcomers impact things this year. But the structure of this and how that works or doesn't work is going to be really interesting to me as we go through the next couple of years here.
One texter says, Amy will fire the head coach halfway through the season with a winning record. So,
well,
we'll see what happens
there.
She did
fire a general manager more than halfway through the season with a winning record. And in first place.
Mr. G says, good morning, guys. Mr. G here. My jury is out on Kim Ward. I assume he means Cam Ward.
Yes.
Unless there's a Kim Ward I'm familiar with. My jury is out on Cam Ward because I haven't seen enough to know if he can succeed at the NFL level. I'm absolutely convinced that the Titans do not have the right pieces in the front office. If Amy were actually patient, they wouldn't be in this mess to begin with. Well, one thing that I have appreciated from Mike Borgonzi in particular, and again, we don't have a whole lot to go off of. We have free agency and we have the draft. But the one thing that I do appreciate from Mike Borgonzi is that he is much more measured in how he is talking about this team. He did an interview recently on the Rich Eisen show, which, by the way, Rich Eisen moving back to ESPN.
Yep.
People were always, where is the Rich Eisen show? It was on Roku, I believe. Now it'll be on ESPN. But he had an interview with Rich Eisen, and he was talking, and Rich Eisen asked the quintessential question, what's your message for Titans fans? And he said, we're going to have to be patient. You know, this is a process. We're just getting started. And I think the Titans would have benefited greatly from that type of message last year instead of Rand Carthon pretending that this team was going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Ian played the we checked every box cut for Jared so many times that on DVD we have a list of banned words and phrases, and checked every box is banned on our program.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say that in any context. You're also not allowed to say the word generational to discuss a prospect on our program. There are other things as well that are banned from our program. But Rand Carthon painted the picture, and the Titans as well, that they were going to be a competitive team last year. And I think all of us were like, huh? I mean, good luck. So I do appreciate the fact that Borgonzi seems to be realistic about what this team is going to be. This team is probably not going to be very good this season.
And frankly, they don't have to be. Like,
it would probably be better if they weren't, so they can pick at or near the top of the draft again.
Look, going through it is one thing. But like, let's say this team reaches max capacity with the roster that they've got right now. What do I think their max capacity is? Like, let's say Cam Ward comes in and is just great. Well, then, they could probably make the playoffs if that's the case. Like, if Cam Ward is great in his rookie year, I mean, the quarterback play covers up a lot of things. But I just want to see them improve as the year goes on. And hopefully get to a win total at the end of the year that is better than three, right? Like get to like five or six wins. And I know that doesn't excite everybody, but like if you think that they're just going to come in and go from 3 wins to 10 wins this year with the roster that they've currently got, which as we've gone over at the moment does not really have much of edge rusher. I have no idea what's going to happen with Jarius Sneed. Even though they drafted two receivers in the fourth round, I still don't love their receiving core the way it is right now. They got a lot of holes on this roster right now. So they don't have to. They don't have to get back in the playoffs this year. But can you show throughout the season, both from a coaching standpoint and with some of your selections that you've made with your draft, that you're going in the right direction. That's what I want to see from the Titans this year. Are you going the right way? And if you are, then continue to build on that as we get into next offseason and plug some of those holes and hopefully get a few more game-changing players via the draft next year. That's how you're going to get out. I mean, ultimately, if they're going to get out of this, yes, Cam Ward has to be really good. But you also, I think, have to find probably two, three more guys at very important positions, be that wide receiver, be that edge rusher, as they move forward here, that are dynamic players. And right now, they just don't have those guys. We'll see if Oladejo turns into one of those guys. But right now, they don't have them.
One texter says, I mean, you could say they were competitive. They were leading at halftime in a lot of their losses last season, which to me means they're at least being competitive with their opponents just choked in the second half. Trevor says, the real reason they brought in so many cooks in the kitchen is so that there's more people for the puppet master Brinker to point the finger at when things don't work out. I refer to him as the supreme ruler of football. But as I said, it appears that there are adults in the room. Again, I can go back and look at Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie's draft record as general managers and point out their flaws in their success rate and all that stuff. I don't know all of that. But, you know, to me, as long as we don't have the distraction of Rand Carthon giving interviews to our next guest, Nick Suss, talking about the ball didn't bounce our way after we lost 54-0 or whatever it was to the Detroit Lions. I don't think you're going to get that out of Mike Borgonzi. So,
by the way, I disagree that they were overly competitive last year. Did they have some good first halves? Sure. They lost by 10 or more points 7 times last
yes,
year,
they
which
did.
Is hard to do in the NFL. Like, it's hard to get blown out in the NFL that much. So they were not overly competitive last year. And by the way, I say 10 or more points. I mean, that includes a 34-10 loss to Buffalo, 52-14 to Detroit, 42-19 to Washington. I mean, they got their butts kicked several times. I mean, Green Bay, 30-14. They got destroyed several times last year.
They did. So at one point last season, I was keeping track of what the Titans' record would be based on the halftime score. And I was like, oh, it's not so bad. But, yes, you have to play two halves of football.
615-737-1025, our phone number, as Adam does pull a Rex Road and totally punches his microphone there.
I have done that a couple of times. I'm not used to sitting in this chair. I usually sit in your chair.
Nice job. Nick Suss from the Tennessean
will
be with us.
I haven't muted myself yet, though.
Next, we'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.